Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no business like show business.
Oh, and away we go.
Hello again, and welcome to the art and business of community theater. I've already screwed it up. Welcome to the art and business of community theater presented by the Monroe Community Players, podcast that presents you with ideas and information you can use to make your theater group the best it can be. Sometimes we slip into other topics, but you understand how green room conversations sometimes go. Speaking of the green room, I see we have a full house today in our green room. All the groupies are here, plus a new groupie. I'm David Ward, the de facto leader of our little band. So looking around today, I see with us
Carol Slifka,
Brian Bridget Ross,
Robert Yellen,
Kathleen McBee,
Ron Roberts,
and new to our green room,
Corey Belanek.
I told Corey she can introduce herself, but I'll tell you a little bit about her. She has been in several plays, of course, with Community Players. She's been quite active in what we call the Downriver Theater area, which is between Detroit and Monroe. And she is an avid listener of a certain podcast that we also much enjoy called The Art and Business of Community Theater.
Aww. Not pop culture.
I don't know. Do you listen to pop culture, too?
No. Okay.
No one does. No one.
So what else do you have to add to that, Corey?
I am a huge fan of the podcast. Every Monday when it comes out, it's one of the first things I listen to. I listen to a lot of podcasts, so big fan.
I have to get your list because I like to see what people listen to.
I love theater and performing all over the place. So I this podcast will be out and my show will be closed. But right now I'm performing at St. Dunstan's.
Yes.
I'm also directing at Divine Child High School, which is where I went to high school, and we are performing the Addams Family. So that's going to be at the end of March.
And what's at St. Dunstan's?
St. Dunstan's is five women wearing the same dress.
Yes.
That closes February 8th. So yeah.
It's unfortunately after this, but we give a shout out to St. Dunstan's. I haven't been up there in a long time.
Well, we have two more performances this weekend.
Yeah, I don't think I can make it, unfortunately. Well. So.
All right, bye.
I'm trying to think what I saw there, but like I say, it was literally probably two decades ago.
Oh, wow.
And where is St. Dunstan's?
I was going
to say. St. Dunstan's is in Bloomfield Hills. So it's on the Cranbrook campus on Lone Pine.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
I think, in fact, I'm almost going to say, I think they were someplace else when I went there.
Oh.
I think they were closer to downtown at one point. Maybe, I may be wrong.
You might be, but that's okay. We'll pretend you're not.
Okay.
So what other groups have you worked with?
My kind of home theater is the Players Guild of Dearborn. I also run the social media at the Players Guild. I've done shows at Birmingham Village, Stagecrafters, Spotlight in Canton, Farmington Players, Downriver Actors Guild, which is now Second Street. Their name's a little changed. So, yeah, I've had the great opportunity to do a lot of shows a lot of different places.
Yeah.
And I want to say, on behalf of Monroe Community Players, I've had the privilege of working with Corey in both shows that she was in. She was my Shelby in Steel Magnolias, which also Kathleen and, what's your name? Carol. Carol was in. And before that, I got to actually work with her on stage in a little show called Time Stands Still.
Yes,
I got it right.
Mm-hmm.
And she played my baby mama. And that was a first
really
for
beautiful.
Me. It was a moment. I remember the first time we got on stage and we were doing our stuff. And I looked at her and I thought, oh, crap, I've got to keep up with this woman because she is awesome. So.
Well, that's very kind.
Well, and interestingly enough, even with all that background, and her social media expertise and everything like that, we've asked her to come discuss a certain topic with us that directors hopefully will find interesting, and it's at the scintillating title of How to Set a Schedule, a rehearsal schedule in particular. But we will get to that a little later. In this episode, we do have some other things coming up. I'll do a quick Act Fest update because this episode will drop before the Michigan Act Fest occurs coming up on this February 28th, March 1st, and 2nd. The full schedule has been released. And so I'm happy to say that up at Bay City, at the Bay City Players, more information on ActFest at baycityplayers.org. Bay City Players will be performing The Revolutionist, I have not heard of that show. I didn't have an opportunity to look it up. Stagecrafters will be taking one of the shows that we have discussed several times here on in our podcast, Silent Sky.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Lovers Part 2.
I'm so over that one, right?
Have to shout out my friend Autumn, who is the star of Silent Sky.
Midland Center Stage will be bringing Tiny Beautiful Things. Tawas Bay Players will be bringing a personal favorite of mine and Kathleen's, I believe, Leaving Iowa. Was that the first time, Kathleen, that you and I worked together on stage as husband and wife?
Yes, it is.
It was very good. The Sauk will be bringing Mockingbird. So I'm not sure if it's actually just Mockingbird or To Kill a Mockingbird. We'll find that out when I get up there. Holland Community Theater will be doing Things My Mother Taught Me. And Twin City Players will be presenting A Measure of Cruelty. So it sounds like a great lineup. I'm looking forward to it. I will be going there. Most of the shows will be taking place on Saturday, because I know some of the rest of the groupies have talked about going up as well. The first show kicks off on Friday night about 8 o'clock, I believe, and then all day Saturday, and then the awards are given out on Sunday. That'll be followed by whoever leaves that. Two shows from that should move on to the regional competition in the middle of March at Owosso, hosted by the Lebowski. So that'll be very interesting, too. Unfortunately, we won't know who moves on, and we won't be able to tell you until after, until March itself. So I think the way the show's dropped, we may be able to tell you who moves on before that the regional, but I think it's cutting a little close, so we'll see. So that's what's coming up at ACTFest. Like I say, I'll be there for sure. So all you groupies who want to meet the El De Facto, find me. I'll be the one wearing the crown.
He's not joking.
Not a tiara, an actual crown. So we're looking forward to ACTFest. It's just a wonderful experience for everything. And now, concerning the episode that will not die from our memories or from our comment section, the now infamous episode 88, I need to give a big shout out and an apology to Milo Carey. Who left us a message on Spotify, and unfortunately, I did not catch it until just recently. If you will remember, however, and Milo, since you did put it out there for the world to see, I'm going to share it here too. If you'll remember, though, that episode, we also talked a lot about the future of community theater and our fears and concerns. So here's what Milo has to say. Hi. Just wanted to leave a comment to maybe ease some of your fears. Our community theater has a diverse range of ages involved. We are a very involved group of people in their 20s who do everything from act, direct, choreograph, tech direct, etc., as well as people who are older. I think you tapped into it with who we are doing this for. We put on a very diverse range of shows. Some are for the actors, some are for the audience, but you're right. This is what keeps people interested. So thank you, Milo. I appreciate that feedback. And as I promise, if you give us feedback, we will respond to you. And I did respond to her in a reply on Spotify. May take me a month or two, but we will get to you. We will get to you eventually. So like I say, episode 88 is a gift that just keeps on giving. So as part of our regular features now, we will be discussing Christmas Carol every episode. Our new running gag
Welcome
is...
Welcome to my last episode.
Carol and I will now be skipping out the door.
Yeah, for those of you who are tired of Annie, well, we came up with a new solution for
you. Remember, you'll shoot your eye out.
Since Carol was so good at giving us a show that she is over before... Mm-hmm. We have asked Carol to come back with another show she was over, and I think I had promised everybody a special segment that we were going to start now. So, Carol, what show are you over this week that can get us some well-deserved attention?
Well, I'm glad I'm sitting across the table from you, Dave, and out of arm's reach, because the show I am over is Annie.
What?
Good Lord. Can we be done with the orphans? I'm over it. I'm done. The only way I would ever go see Annie again, and I would really love to do this if possible, is if it was everyone in the show was a senior citizen. The orphans were all old people, and it was played perfectly straight, but there'd be lots of groaning and, you know, getting on the floor and, sure. you know, that. But, I mean, seriously, can we be done? I don't care about tomorrow. You know, these days, everyone has a hard knock life, so I have no sympathy for you, Annie, and I hate your stupid hair, so...
Wow.
That's Jeez. Why I don't have hair as Daddy Warbucks.
Yes, even though you play, Twice. And I'm sure, yes, it's brilliant. But no, why people continue to do Annie, I have no idea. Here's why I think people still do it. Because it needs a lot of kids, and kids sell tickets.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
That's the only
Otherwise, reason. There's, for what I can see, there's no redeeming qualities to that show.
Wow.
Whatsoever, I'm going to stand. I will die on that hill. No, there's
you
nothing.
You should ask the Stratford Festival since they're doing it this summer. Wow.
Shut up. Are hey. They yes. really? Yeah. Oh, yes, my God. Why?
They need the money.
Why?
They need the money.
Why? Yeah, well, no, I am.
I think I'm going to take back to the board that we do the senior version of Annie and see if we can get Carol as one of the lead orphans. Mm. I think that'd be great.
But remember, Dave,
how,
if you do
how do you look in
you
red?
Have to sing. No.
Carol would be a great Pepper. Are you kidding?
Yeah,
well,
it'd be hilarious.
And so, then there's that, but I don't sing, as we know. Yeah, no, yeah, no. I like I said, that's the only way I would ever, if it was done, something really dramatically different,
or all done in the nude.
No, as adults.
Oh my God!
No, no,
not the full Monty effect.
No, there's several things wrong with it.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, no, that's the one I'm over. I can't. I don't even like the color red anymore, just because of Annie.
This is going to be a while we destroy this show.
Yes.
Well.
And that's mine. So
okay, so send those comments to. Oh, wait a minute. Brian's gonna.
No, go ahead. You first.
I say send those comments to MCPpodcast at MonroeCommunityPlayers.org. You can leave us a comment on Spotify. Go to our Facebook page. Just look for those. Or our new Instagram page, by the way, Green Room Groupies. We're getting some followers there as well, where we do post occasional pictures. So we'll see how we do make that more fun or not.
She brought up something. Carol just brought up something that I wanted to ask Corey about, because I was asked when I walked into the Ellis Library here where we record from the person who runs it, our librarian, that she had heard. I know. Well, there's clerks, there's librarians. You want me to explain this to you, Ron?
No, please don't.
Okay. So, she had heard that somewhere downriver they are doing grease over 50.
Yeah, it's DAG. Yeah.
Is DAG doing it?
Are they doing it?
Yep.
They're doing grease. So everybody's over 50.
I think it's this month. I think it's February. It might be March. Don't quote me on that. But yes, everybody.
I think I've already
everybody's
seen
Everybody's over
that.
50.
Well, we've seen probably, our group's probably seen it several times.
Well, I think our group may have done it.
We did Godspell over 50. So.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I love grease, so I'm hoping to be able to come down and see that.
Okay. She asked me, and I went, are you kidding? That's silly. No. And then she was like, no, it's really happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, that is kind of fun.
Yeah, they've been posting stuff. It looks like it's going to be really fun.
So. Okay.
And then Greece
is 12 days.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. Ron said it opens in 12 days. He's not. Close.
And Greece is still packing them in. Perrysburg Musical Perrysburg Theater Company just did it. Dylan Sickles, who was my Gilligan. And he's gone on. He was the director of that in Perrysburg. And they sold out.
Mm-hmm. Now, would they switch the sexes?
Nope. It's just an over 50 cast. Yeah.
Okay, so women play women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go Metamucil, going down the beauty line.
Copyright. Watch it, copyright.
Well, okay, so... We got our first rant out of the way. Not Ron's rant. It's just Carol's show. We were over. And like I say, we'll keep this up for a while at least. Good news on the Grease over 50. So why not Annie over 50? Let's see what happens.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I'd actually
think that'd be funny.
I saw a production of High School Musical that was all adults. Let me tell you, that was the funniest thing.
Really?
Yeah, I've ever seen. Usually high schools do it.
Did they change anything, or did they just
Sharpay
were they
was
serious?
In drag.
Okay.
But other than that, it was
but
serious.
They kept.
But
they
it was so
they
funny.
Were like
yeah,
focused
was,
on being high school kids.
That was the
kids.
Ringwald. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, a while
That's
back.
That's hilarious.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's a fun take.
Annie, yes. I would do Annie for that.
Yeah, instead of buckets and mops, they'll use walkers. It's a hard knock life.
No, you got to do it straight. You got to do it straight.
That is
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Well, good. Let's lead. That there's no segue there.
Nope.
But one of the things we're going to talk about, whether you're directing Grease, whether you're directing Annie, whether you're directing Arsenic and Old Lace, I don't know. I'm running out of shows. One of the things you have to do as a director, of course, is set a schedule. And this is something that, frankly, we thought would be great because Corey has so much experience with other groups. We know how we've done our schedules here in Monroe, but let's talk about what's the first thing you do when you set a schedule. So I open the floor.
Well, I kind of thought of this because in one of the community theater groups, and I think you've talked about it, so I think you're a member of it. I think it's the Community Theater Resource Group. Somebody posted recently about schedules and just kind of being, you know, a little upset that some theaters don't post a rehearsal schedule ahead of time. And I know for us at the Players Guild, for us with five women that we're just completing, we waited until we got the cast to understand what their conflicts were, because it's really hard to do a rehearsal schedule around people's conflicts,
right, exactly.
Especially people are just involved in a lot of things. But and I just thought, oh, what a dumb thing to. Of course you want to see people's conflicts. But then I thought a little further about it, and I'm actually considering maybe the next time I put into direct something, having a more set rehearsal schedule, because then people do just kind of know up front whether this is something that they do want to audition for, whether they can make it fit into their schedule. And I think there's still some flexibility that you would have. But instead of trying to look at every single thing that everybody has going, just do you fit into a Monday night rehearsal or a Tuesday night rehearsal or something like that? So I thought that was an interesting other way to look at it.
Well, I will say that when I'm directing, one of the things I do say, I'll start laid out. I don't actually have the actual, I do I do set up schedule myself, and then I tell people at auditions, here's what I'm looking at in terms of rehearsal times, and seeing if there's an issue there. But then, like say, look at those conflicts before I actually set anything in stone.
Especially with kids.
Yeah.
Kids are really difficult.
They are very challenging. You don't want to tick someone off, but...
Well, it's not about ticking them off. It's about trying to for them to fit everything that they have going on.
And it's
going
to be almost impossible to have everybody follow everything.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. And that's where the flexibility comes in for Adam's family right now. We do have specific our Thursdays. Those are always choreography days. So that's when our choreographer, when she's able to come in, so she just takes Thursdays. So that never changes. For the rest of the days, I just try to fit around Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, depending on what we're able to get in during that week.
But stability as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
How big a cast is your Adams family? I'm just curious.
Like 1,000? No, I think...
Gomez was busy.
I think there's... we have between 30 and 35, I think we're around there. So we have a lot of ancestors. So, you know, the main Adams family, there's only, including Lurch, there's only 7 of them. And then the Beinekes, which is another 3. But then we have a lot of ancestors. So, yeah, I think we're in that 30 range, maybe.
And, yeah, for those who are not familiar with the Adams family, ancestors are essentially the chorus.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And right now we've had a lot of sickness. So we've had to cancel a lot of rehearsals. Kids aren't available. Thankfully, we have 2 months before the show opens, but that's been really hard to deal with.
What age are we talking
about? This is high school.
High school, that's what I thought.
Yeah, so freshmen through seniors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of interesting to me, this is a side tangent, of course, is that Adam's Family seems to have become very popular in high schools
so
lately.
So popular.
Because I would think... I guess maybe it's because of the new Wednesday series on Netflix.
It was popular prior to Wednesday.
I think of the Addams Family, like many of the plays we discuss. You know, it's an older property at this point. Even the last movie was, I don't know how long ago now.
They have a cartoon. Yeah, they're doing the cartoon. But we did it at the Players Guild with our teenagers in 2015.
Yeah.
So I did it 10 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Do they, and I don't know, we're riding this tangent right now, but do these kids know the Addams Family? Have they ever seen the 1960s series? I mean,
have they looked at the comics?
So the series and the comics, no. They were more familiar with the 90s movies and then the Wednesday series as well. Yeah. And then I think I was not particularly, I don't really know the newer movies, but there was also an Addams Family cartoon TV show, I think, when I was younger. So I'm familiar with that. But that I gave them, when I do their packet for auditions, I give them links to all the different things to watch. So I gave them lots of links for Morticia and Gomez from the TV show to the movies. And, you know, this is the kind of relationship they have and things like that. So they got a little bit of it. But
And of course, those of us in the room of a certain age, we go back to the black and white television show. Mm-hmm. And we divided ourselves into camps in those days. We were either Munsters fans or we were Addams Family. But Addams Family is the property that certainly has stuck around.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. So when you're doing a schedule, though, so how do you like to break the schedule up in terms of, you said, by nature, in this case, you were doing Thursdays because that's when your choreographer was available.
Thursdays are our choreo days, yep. So she takes
just one
those.
Day of choreograph?
Mm-hmm. Yep, she does one where she teaches them the dances. And then when they come in with me.
Are you rehearsing them without her?
Okay. We're running the dances. So they're real tired of the opening.
Yeah, I'd be real hesitant only rehearsing a dance once a week. Yeah.
How long are the rehearsals for the kids' shows?
The like time during the day or the
how week? Long is it? Well, yeah, well,
both.
Sure.
So we cast it in November, and the show goes up March 28th, last weekend of March. So they knew what they were doing when we were still in production on our fall show.
Okay.
So we were doing Romeo and Juliet, and then they got their parts.
So you're talking a 5-month rehearsal period.
So if our music director will work with them a little bit on the music, but we didn't start anything until after the holiday.
Okay.
So we didn't start until January.
So
we did the same thing last year with Shrek, where they were starting to learn their music in November and December, but we didn't start blocking or choreographing until January.
Yeah, and we all know musicals take a little longer.
Oh, yeah.
So I've always said at least 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is at least 2 months.
I mean, 15 would be nice.
Well, and I don't know, in our group, I really think that there was a period of rehearsal inflation.
Mm-hmm.
It was suddenly we're taking 3 months to do one show, and that, to me, just too much. But I think there's two different philosophies out there. It's like, do you do as many rehearsals as you can in a short period of time, or do you do a couple rehearsals a week and watch it all try to fall together in the longer period of time? I personally feel it's better to get it into a 2-month window, do 3 to 4 rehearsals a week, and get it over with. Because otherwise, in my opinion, I think you feel like you're giving up your life. You know, who's got half a year to devote to something
one
two,
show.
Three times a week?
I think at this point for me, the more rehearsals I can have and the longer, the better it is for me to try to memorize a script, because it takes me about a year now to memorize a script.
Well, I think if it goes too long, you run the risk of burnout.
Yeah, you
can peak
you
too
do.
Soon, and then your heart's not in it anymore. So it's like it's like Annie. I'm over it.
Actually, now I'm really beginning to warm to the idea of the adult Annie.
Oh, Lord. You started something, Carol.
I'm sorry. You used to think about that. It's like, oh, my God.
I think it would be hilarious.
I think we would make it some bucks.
It would be a novelty.
Some more bucks.
Can we go back a second to the idea of your thinking of setting the schedule and saying these are the days I'm going to, and now are you talking about for the school? Or are you talking about for a community theater group?
So that was more what I was thinking about recently, was doing that for a community theater group, just because with the high school, we have to work around certain days, certain breaks. Mm-hmm. Like, they're coming up on winter break next week. So we have certain days that we can't rehearse. So if I wanted to do every Monday, but then they have the Monday off and they're not coming in and whatever, I can't do that. But for the most part, we do. They're with me usually Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday in there, and then the choreography on Thursday. Like this week, we're Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday, they have an interp rehearsal. So my assistant director does interpretation with them, so just character work. Mm-hmm. They have choreography, and then there's music. Sometimes they'll do music at lunch because they're all there. The music director is also a teacher. Mm-hmm. And they also have some music after school on Friday. So they have something every day, basically, right, this week, but not everybody is called. And that's another part of the rehearsal calendar thing for me, is making sure that people's time isn't wasted. Yes. Because it's like my biggest pet peeve as an actor. Just to be called and not needed. Yeah. Yeah. Or to be needed for like two lines.
And we have certainly
We've talked about that
in here. It's like, you know, if you're bringing someone in for rehearsal, by golly, make sure that you rehearse them. I've been guilty of actually leaving a lead.
I love the idea
for entire rehearsal and not using them.
Exactly. I love the idea of being able to say, okay, this is what I plan on. This is my rehearsal. So, the problem is, for some groups, who shall be nameless, I think downriver you get more people auditioning. For us and some other groups, it's tough to get even five people to audition for a 5-person show. So to say, this is my schedule, if you don't like it, don't audition.
You may not have a cast.
You might not have a cast. Yeah. I mean, I really love that idea, but I think realistically, for some groups, us included, that's hard. I think that would be harder for us to do.
Well, and I think that's something you got to keep in mind, too, is really the size of the cast. Because, for example, if you're doing something like Maytag Virgin, which we've considered, we do not have the rights to do it, so don't get on us, anybody. But, you know, that's a 2-person show. Mm-hmm. Well, when you have basically a director and 2 people, you've got a lot of flexibility in your scheduling. You're doing something like Addams Family, where you've got 30 or 40 people in a cast. I think you just don't have that ability to have flexibility, because you're not going to meet everybody's conflicts. And that means you've got to make a decision as a director. Mm-hmm. Is it okay for them to miss this number of rehearsals?
Yeah.
Or would you also use an assistant choreographer to take up the slack in case of a schedule?
We do have dance captains. So those are the students. Yeah. So the dance captains, all 3 of them, they're fantastic. We love our dance captains. They are there to assist during the rehearsals, like with me, where Becca, our choreographer, isn't there. So they'll watch and they'll give some notes and say, you know, this, you need to look at this move, or you've done this wrong, or whatever. So they're an extra 3 sets of eyes for Becca when she's not there.
Well, and I think there's a misconception, too. We're thinking, well, when you're dealing with younger cast, you've got to make accommodation for their variety of other things, school activities or whatever. But the reality is you have to do that for adults, too, or you may have to, because I look at my own schedule. I'm the type that when I'm in a show, I tend to put everything aside for that show. But the reality is I'm just as busy when there's not a show. Because, you know, if you're involved in your community, you may be going to a church meeting this night. I'm going to some sort of fraternal organization that night. I've got to make sure that I'm taking care, perhaps, of a parent another night. You know, I keep up with dance classes, for example. That's another night. It's like I'm doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And I got to believe a lot of adults, because the people who come and join community theater today probably join other things. Mm-hmm. They're busy people.
I think it's a totally different animal, too, when you're doing a production for school versus one for the general public. Because in my experience of directing high schoolers and middle schoolers, for those kids, for the most part, that's their thing. That's their sport. That's their activity.
Oh, okay.
They don't have a lot of other practices and things going on. So when I was directing shows, even whether it was musical or a straight play, I would set the schedule ahead of time. I would look at the school calendar and say, okay, well, exams are this week, so I'm not going to do practices this week. And they're always, at least for me, they were always right after school, so the kids were always there. It's not like they had to come back at 6 o'clock at night or something. It's almost like you have a captive audience there. And there were times when there were exceptions, like a kid couldn't make it or whatever. But for the most part, because, like I say, this is their activity, this is their main thing.
Okay. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. And, I mean, you never have rehearsals on Friday nights in the fall because there's football.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's things you take into consideration. Sure. But, yeah. But would you agree with that, Corey, that...
At DC, they're very involved in a lot of things. And, I mean, it is also kind of a college prep school. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's that aspect to it. So we have, which is nice, we have a lot of kids that play sports. So right now I'm thinking of my boys who are on the bowling team. There's like five of them. Yeah. So we're working on the bowling schedule. Gomez, I'm just going to use him as an example. He's a football player. Obviously, they're not playing football right now. But in the past, you know, if we had football players during the fall show, we would be working around some of their scheduling. I have a couple girls on the volleyball team, things like that. So we do have a lot. And then I have a, you know, daytime job so I don't work in the school. So I have to be there after my job. So we can't necessarily do something after school for them. Oh, some of them still just hang out anyway. But yeah. And then they have club things that are after school, and you want to make sure that they're able to do that. I have kids that run in. They're like, I have to go finish a test. And so they're, you know, doing something like that. So they can come up with a million different things that they have to go do.
As the other person in the room that's been a high school student, the most recent. We also did not have rehearsal correctly after school. Because, really? Again, but to Corey's point, it's because our director was not a teacher.
Okay.
Should have been. But anyways, that's another story altogether. Lonnie Eldridge, if you're listening, we love you. But he was not, so we had to have rehearsal after 6 or 7 o'clock, which was rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, but it's what we did, so we never had rehearsal after school.
But we as community theaters, we're going to have that rehearsal at 6 or 7 o'clock.
Right.
So
right.
Now we're talking about a different thing, especially when you're dealing with young cast, is now we're... getting into their homework time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it just takes it takes some discipline, I think, for the young people involved to get that done before they come to rehearsal.
Right. And we have a meeting with the parents at the beginning of every rehearsal process and talk about it. They have to have a certain GPA to be in the show. So if their GPA drops below a certain level, then they get booted out. So it's super important for them to stay up on all of their work. So I always tell the parents, if there is something, if there is a test, if there is something, that actually takes priority. Like their schoolwork is the priority.
Right. Well, and again, though, that's something with the school.
Right.
I think, you know, then it comes to question us as community theaters, how cognizant are we of that? You know, I've had situations where, frankly, somebody said, show week, I can't be at any of the rehearsals because I got this exam I have to study for. That creates a different problem. It's like, didn't you know about this before we, you know, started? So I think the cast also has a responsibility to the director and to the show to say, here, be truthful when you fill out the form that says.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not helping anybody.
Because honestly, I don't know how many times that I've directed a show and they'll put the stuff out and I'll work around it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, didn't I tell you about such and such on Tuesday the 20th? I forgot about that. Oh, and here's one, blah, blah, blah.
So what's really cool is when somebody comes to their audition and they have a calendar filled out with all of their conflicts on it, and they hand that in when they audition.
Isn't that nice?
It is. I mean, we joke right now, but it was awesome when it was handed right in front of us. We're like, all right,
who did that? I can't remember who that was.
You know what? Somebody red hair. I'm not really sure.
It was a Steel Magnolias.
Kimmy, Carrie.
Cody?
Kelly?
Cody? Anyway, I want to go back for a second. So your Gomez is awesome. So in football?
Yes.
Is he a kicker?
No. I don't.
I don't know.
Because you can get offended over that. Okay.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, can get offended over less.
I don't know what, yeah, I'm not sure what the position
and
he plays.
This is how a tangent begins.
No, it just amazes me because I went to Monroe High here, and our football players, would they just beat us up?
I was going to say, did they beat you up?
I, you know.
Things have changed.
So, wow, yeah. That's great.
You get stuck inside a locker.
No, I would say my son does theater in Rockford, Illinois, and he has a lot of people that are on the football team.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know, my God, how life has changed since I left. I can't believe.
Maybe
so no one gets.
Well, you just got to look at the
number. Wasn't just me. There was the other guy, but you know what? Maybe the problem was ours. Never mind.
Maybe they're thinking ahead. Look at all the NFL players that go on to do some sort of acting or commercials or whatever.
Yeah.
It's
well,
good experience.
And he's in the musical. He was not in the fall show. So okay. he didn't do that. He's doing the spring musical instead. So,
I would suggest, too, when you're doing your audition, have an actual calendar with the run from audition to rehearsal for people to fill out, because it's so much easier to look at everybody's schedule and figure out where the conflicts are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier for them because we visualize calendars. You know, your phone's a calendar. You know, it's less likely somebody will miss something and make it much easier
to... So take the calendar and hand it to them and say, put
before
on your dates here.
Yeah. That's what we do. Really? That's
every
what we do at the Players Guild. Yeah, we have an audition form that you can download before auditions. And
well, because essentially, like if you're doing like I do, where I've sat down and said, okay, I got to figure out how to make this work for me first as a director because I take that privilege, I guess. I've already done a calendar, so why not just copy that off? I'd go one step further and say, here's who's rehearsing every night. If you want to be in this part, here's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. But put that big, bold letters, subject to change based on cast.
Right,
sure.
Right.
Something like that, you know, because as soon as people see something printed in front of them, it becomes official, and you got to be real, real careful with that.
Yeah, and we get a lot of questions to the Players Guild, to the social media. We'll get questions before auditions. What is the rehearsal schedule? I mean, I get that probably at least once every time I post. So people are expecting some sort of answer. Most of the theaters that I've worked with don't necessarily set a schedule like that, but we get asked all the time.
So going back to the actual mechanics of scheduling, so let's say you're sitting down to do a schedule, what do you start with? Do you start with saying, okay, I'm going to go with Act 1 and build from there to all the way to the end, or do you say, I'm going to take what people I have, and then I'm going to decide what act we're going to rehearse that time. Who here, you know, wants to do it in order, and who here says we'll put in whatever order necessary and put it all together at the end?
So I start with Tech Week, and I block that out. I then look at when do we want to start running full show. Block that out. Make sure you have a solid off-book date, and then think about how you want to break it up from there. So I work backwards when I look at a schedule.
No, I think that's a perfect way to do it. That's very
Bob, you're so sweet.
Yeah, I built backwards for...
But when you're building backwards, are you saying, okay, I'm going to start with Act 1 when I get to the end? Or are you saying, I'm just going to get to whatever I need to get to?
So we did... It's the way I did Adam's Family was we blocked it in 4 rehearsals. So I picked the scene. Yeah. So I picked out the scenes. So there were certain ones that are like just Wednesday and Lucas or just Morticia and Gomez and tried to get all of those together in... a couple of rehearsals so we could just kind of blast through all of them. And we're running full acts now. Again, we opening into March. We're running Act 2 tonight.
Yeah.
And then for Romeo and Juliet in the fall, we had just Montague days and just Capulet days. That's a very easy show to split that way. but I was having them just rehearse like those scenes specifically.
Corey, how many days a week are you rehearsing as you talk about like you've got almost 2 months before you go up here?
So I just have them twice, 2 to 3 times a week for the run.
And you give water breaks? I'm just asking.
They have to ask for it because I forget, but yes.
Okay, just checking.
Somebody apparently didn't give water breaks once. And she hasn't heard the end of it.
No, she hasn't.
Well, for the show I'm doing now, for 5 Women, that There's two little bits of the show, which my character is the only one on stage with one other person. But for the almost the entire rest of the show, it's almost all of the five women all the time. People come in and out. So that one, this is one where you couldn't have just certain people come. It was everybody was needed. And it's just act one, act two. There's not multiple scenes or anything like that. So for that type of show, everybody was pretty much called at every rehearsal. If somebody couldn't make it because they had an issue or a conflict, you know, they weren't there. But
yeah. Now, I personally, with doing a straight show, mm-hmm. I would tend to break it into what Bob's pointed out many times, the French scenes, mm-hmm. Where it does go from entrance to entrance.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something a lot of people like to use.
Yeah, I do try to.
To me, it just makes it easier.
Oh, yeah.
And then you figure out, okay, how many people are in these groups together mm-hmm. That way as opposed to that. I'll actually personally do a whole, like when I'm doing a Shakespeare show, mm-hmm. I list every character and
yep.
I put what scene and who's in and yep. what that, so I can see that, because visually then you can kind of see the mm-hmm. the clusters.
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet being
that's
a very
what
good
we did. Opera. Yeah. You know, in their scripts that I example. Gave them, they had in the front of their script what scenes they were in. Yeah. So it was, yeah, by character.
And when I did Romeo and Juliet, we broke them into Team Capulet and Team Montague. And
They had little wristbands. They
yeah.
Were.
Well, so Twilight was big then, so it was, you know, Team Jacob or mm-hmm. Team, what's his face?
Edward.
Edward.
Yeah.
So we did Team Romeo and Team Juliet.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway. Yeah, well,
so
it kind of worked.
And it's
worked.
Great. It really is. It's great.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not sure how far we really got on, you know, figuring out schedules here. because, it, you know, there's any number of ways to do it, but hopefully mm-hmm. you got a couple of good ideas because I kind of want to go back to Corey and ask something else differently.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
The show you're in now is St. Dunstan's.
Yes.
Tell us a little about that show. Is that something that people would like to do?
I think so.
You said five women?
Five women wearing the same dress.
I'm sure I've heard of this show.
Yeah.
Who's the playwright?
Alan Ball, who also wrote American Beauty, True Blood, 6 Feet Under. So he's a prolific writer in multiple different genres.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it takes place at a wedding in 1993. It's really interesting how completely relatable the things that these women talk about are to 2025 when it was written in 1993. Mm-hmm. So that has been interesting to have audiences hear what these women are talking about. But they are bridesmaids. That's why they are
a lot of talk about global warming, no doubt.
There actually is a conversation. There's a quick hit about the environment and how men have messed it up. So
okay,
just
good,
saying.
Good.
But the women are all wearing the same dress because they are bridesmaids. You never meet the bride. She is just hated universally by all five of the women. It's pretty funny. yeah. So it's her. Well, she's pretty awful. So it's her. It's her sister. It's high school and college friends. It is a cousin, and then the sister of the groom. Those are the three characters. There also is a guy that shows up right at the end of the show. He's one of the groomsmen or ushers. And it's just these women talking about their lives and the different things that have happened to them over the course of their lives. We have from early 20s, the younger cousin is 21, and then the sister is in her mid-20s, and then like my character is 34, she says. One of the other characters is the same age, so it goes from 20s to 30s, and it's definitely rated R for language.
Ooh, yeah. Now I'm interested.
Yeah. There are lots of F-bombs that get dropped. There's some weed smoking on stage. Yeah.
How's the set?
Is just a bedroom. It's the bedroom. So the reception is taking place at the bride's family home. So we are all in the bedroom of the younger sister. And so the whole thing just takes place in there. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't very imagine having a house big enough for a wedding reception.
I know.
May I ask?
Yeah.
And it actually has more than one reason why I'm asking this. Mm. The bridesmaids' dresses, where did you go? Yeah, see, Ron?
Yeah.
See,
Ron wanted to know where to get a dress.
Well, Ron and I need our Halloween costumes. Actually, Ron and I are directing a cemetery club, mm-hmm. and there's a scene where the three women have to wear a matching bridesmaids. So how did you just go to some, do you know, how did you find those?
So... Our overlord, Jeff Bezos, we went to Amazon. But the company that we got them from on Amazon actually took our individual measurements and made the dresses to our measurements.
Oh.
Yeah, which I didn't know was a thing on Amazon. But, I mean, there are you know, small businesses.
How
that
do you
are
know
there.
This, Bob?
Bob is a fashionista.
Thank you, darling.
I don't actually know how much they cost. But
when I looked at them, because
we need two that are match and one that sort of matches but is a lot sexier than the other two, mm-hmm. which tells you about that character.
Cemetery Club?
Oh, yes.
How long is the run of this show?
We may have
three weekends.
3 weekends, okay. Yes.
So we need three matches.
So you can invest more in it when you're running it longer.
Yes.
And find out who's in the show.
And we had to get matching shoes. As well. So,
okay, well, wonderful.
And matching
thanks.
Hats.
So, what do you have for breakfast?
Yeah, but that's why I was just wondering. I had heard of the show before, so yeah. I was just curious.
It's a great show. Audiences have loved it. We were, you know, sometimes I'm a little concerned when there's language and things happening, but we had a sold out show yesterday, Sunday, which, as we know, Sundays are sometimes. The elderly audience, no one left. They all said they loved it.
They've all heard it before.
Yeah.
So. They were probably in that bedroom once upon a time. Yeah.
But I do think even the elderly audiences, the ages now of the elderly audience is the age where they've heard that more now than.
True.
I mean, it's my grandparents and my parents. Well, my father's still alive, but I think my grandparents would be the ones saying, "Oh, Lordy, I have to leave, or I'm gonna go to hell." Whereas now, you know, the parents probably have heard it a little bit more, and then our generation, which is nowhere near Corey and Ron's generation.
Nowhere near.
Are Ron and I have the same generation?
No. We give it to Ron.
That's somebody, Ben. Hey!
But anyway, I do think that by that generation, we're like, all right, that's... Whether we like it or not, it's more of the lexicon of the language.
Well, we did have a warning on when they bought tickets, too.
Is the language fitting for 1993?
I think so.
Okay. See, and I think your audiences will... You know, roll with that. It's when you overuse it.
Yeah.
That, right. You know.
I think the F word has been used since time
I
began.
Think my class
I believe you can find it in Chaucer.
You can find it in Chaucer, yeah.
Well,
that's in the 1800s.
Yeah, Chaucer.
In what year, Brian?
I think it's earlier than that.
1600s.
I think it goes
1400s. Yeah, well, 1000s. Jesus said it once. No, I'm joking, everybody. I'm joking.
Well, I think we know what to cut there, Brian.
Views expressed when one is editing. Ross only do not express those at Monroe Community Players.
Thank you, Ron.
Podcast or Impact or Ellis Library.
Well, Lennon said worse.
John?
Yes.
I might remind you, you're no John Lennon.
It's the hair.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Corey. I know you're going to have to rush off to rehearsal here, but hopefully you can stay a few minutes to listen to a wonderful review because Broadway Brian is back in the house. We missed you last couple episodes, Brian. We're still finishing up his New York City trip from Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I was in New York, too, but we didn't see each other.
We did not see each other.
You were both there? In the same show, no doubt?
No, we didn't see, I saw all different shows than you.
We both saw different shows. Yeah. I would have loved to have, you know, connected, but it just never happened. We didn't make it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm on show 3 of the 5 that I'm going to talk about here. And I really hope we can get through these soon because Thanksgiving gets longer and longer away, so I'm forgetting more and more.
We should finish up before the next Thanksgiving, so.
Okay, well, that's good then. The show we went and saw, it was a matinee, was called The Roommate. And it was a straight play. It was one of the few. Normally, we go to musicals. It starred Mia Farrow and Patti LuPone. Two huge, huge names.
Patti LuPone, the recent star of Community Theater.
The recent star of Community Theater who had to leave again. yes. The first thing I'm going to say before we even start is, Carol, yes, she wore shoes.
Oh, thank you.
But she did wear slippers. But she did wear shoes. She was going back and forth.
With the slippers, when she wore the slippers, was it appropriate for her to be wearing slippers?
Yes.
Then I'm okay.
Yes, they were. But basically, it's the story of this this a woman of a certain age, Mia Farrow, who lives on a big farm in Iowa City. And she decides that to get money and to keep the house and all that, she's going to get a roommate. And she gets this other person who is comes from the Bronx. And we're talking a real motorcycle, leather-wearing mama sort of person, very big attitude, big everything. Of course, that's Patti LuPone's part. Mia Farrow's playing the farm girl. You know, basically it's a one set. It's all done in a kitchen. There are steps that lead off, but they kind of just go off. The set that we saw, what was beautiful about this, had an island in the middle that they sat at a lot. It had running. That's the thing I love about Broadway. They have running refrigerators, running water, running everything. They had stuff cooking in the stove. It was amazing. And then the backdrop was always, if it was day, it was just the field with the blue, you know, of in the background, blue skies, field. And then they had a porch that went along the side and then all the way around the back of the stage. And so if one of them was on the phone and the other decided to exit, the Patti LuPone's character was a heavy smoker, so she would always go out and have a smoke. You could just see her because there were windows everywhere. You just see her walking around that porch and all that. And I just thought the set was beautiful for what it was. I thought it was great. Anyway, it's a comedy with some drama. Again, two women of a certain age. It was, I thought, one of the best plays I have seen in a long time. Hmm. And next to Swept Away, which was the musical we saw the first night, which I, again, just an amazing musical, this was my favorite. A community group could do this play, because in the end, this play is about these two women and how the one changes the other's life. And it really, it's an evolution. Mia Farrow's character starts off one way, and by the end, you're like, I did not see that coming at all.
So changed, if not for the better, for the good.
I don't want to say for the good, but she was changed. Boy, was she changed. There is smoking. There's weed smoking. There's swearing. There's a little bit of lesbian sexual undertones, but it was, I think, for two women who want to do a strong character-driven piece, it's perfect. It is perfect. I gave it an A+. Wonderful. Mean, I was, and I think had it not even been Mia Farrow and Patti LuPone, had it been just, and there's, we all know there's actresses just as strong as, you know, it's just the name. I would have loved it just as much because, again, it was a character-driven show. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this to end with, and I've seen it before where, you get famous people that on Broadway and they come in to start the show. And, of course, the audience goes nuts as soon as they walk on stage. And then, of course, they stand there and they're waiting and you're waiting. What they did was they walked out and stood in the front. And everybody went nuts, and they bowed, acknowledged the audience, waited till those applause died down, and then they went and got into position. And then the lights went back down a second time and came back up. So it was almost like, let's get it out of the way. Yeah. We know you're going to do it. Yeah. Yes, here we are. Blah, blah, blah. Now do the show.
So, cool. So that's a tip to do with your own group. Mm-hmm. If you got those very popular when you actors, you need to.
When you cast Dave as Daddy Warbucks, bring him out before the show starts.
Just get it out of the way.
And don't wave a cell phone in front of Patti LuPone.
No. Otherwise, any reference for you for this show.
And that was funny, too, because we knew, and my husband, who's not into theater as much as I am, he had read a lot of things about Patti, how she'll stop shows and all of that. You know, she's very. And we were sitting there, and sure enough, a phone went off, and my husband like grabbed the arms, and it almost felt like half the audience was doing that because it's like, okay, are we gonna see Patti in rare form? But she never broke. She never broke character that day. Aww. So I know, I was almost disappointed. It's like, come on.
Maybe it was a plant in the
well, maybe.
She gets to choose.
Yeah, the suspense.
Yeah, but The Roommate. I don't know if it's out or if it will be out. It is out.
Yeah, that's The Roommate by Jen Silverman.
Mm-hmm.
It is available through Concord Theatricals. It's a Samuel French title. Mm-hmm. However, it's probably limited licensing right now because it's on Broadway, so who knows?
Well, it's closed now. It was only on Broadway.
Oh, did it close?
It was
a limited run in New York.
Yeah, well, okay. These two aren't going to spend years doing one show.
Yeah, they're doing what they need to do.
Somebody from a show.
Yes, Ron.
What's that, Ron?
I have one question.
Yeah, Ron.
Why did she move from the Bronx to Iowa City?
Yeah, that's where I got stuck.
You lost me right there.
You'll have to go see the show to find out.
That's a big reveal. That's a big reveal.
Okay.
I will say this. That character, Patti LuPone, her character has done a lot of things that people could probably be looking for her.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Hiding.
So she...
Allegedly.
Yes. The only prop thing that I would say is every night Mia Farrow has to... They make these little statues, and every night she has to throw five or six of them and break five or six of them every night. And I thought, that'd be a pain in the butt. Everything else prop wise, I didn't see a problem with. I didn't see a problem with much of anything. The statues five or six nights, it's like, ooh, that's a lot.
That's why we have Dollar Tree. We'd be fine.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Or team up with the local ceramics class and say, we need you.
But yeah, I didn't want to say too much because I don't want to give it. I don't want to.
Just curious.
Yeah.
Just,
but yes, yeah, she's. No. She's moving. She keeps moving for a reason. Yeah.
I gotcha.
Because the play is leaving Iowa, not coming to Iowa. The other play. Okay, well, wonderful. Thank you, Brian, for that. So we wrap that up. So The Roommate, go check that Samuel French catalog through Concord or however they all seem to regroup themselves today.
I'd love if it's out. I'd love to direct it next year.
Oh.
I think it's a great piece for two women of a certain age. It is just. It's great. It's great.
Good. Some of the reviews were not, so that's interesting.
Well, they should just listen to mine.
They should. Yours is the one that counts, as everybody knows.
No, but okay.
Everybody knows that.
He who pays for the tickets.
He's called Broadway Brian for a reason.
The reviews weren't, we'll talk.
I just you just see what you see when you're scrolling to see if something's available for the rights. And says something about even Mia and Patty couldn't power through something, so... I have to go back and look at it, but
maybe I was starstruck then. But I was.
Sometimes, this may come as a shock to many people out there, but sometimes critics have their own reasons for liking or not liking something. So
that's very true.
I've found sometimes if a critic doesn't like it, I tend to go the opposite way. But
yeah.
Just ask Bob whenever he's critiqued something. I usually come out and say, that's pretty good, though, Bob.
It stinks.
So great. Wonderful. Well, thank you. Thanks again, Corey, for joining us in the green room.
Thank you.
Hope to have you back sometime.
Break on. Applaud me.
But it does look like that we are out of time for this episode. And I would like to thank each and every one of you out there for listening. We do appreciate the support that you give us and that you give to your theater. We also appreciate feedback and conversations we talked about. So if you love Annie... Address those comments directly to Carol at mcppodcast@monroecommunityplayers.org. Look for Green Room Groupies on Instagram. Search for the Art and Business Community Theater under the Monroe Community Players Podcast or MCP Podcast probably on Facebook. And if you want to keep up with the latest shows and activities of the Monroe Community Players, go to monroecommunityplayers.org. We do generally release two episodes a month. In fact, we're pretty good about that. In fact, we are on episode 91 by my count, so we are still the countdown to 100. And in fact, we're thinking of some special things coming up, including possibly a all-review show. I called it Review-a-Palooza, something like that, because everyone loves our reviews. So we thought we've actually got quite a few that have been built up in addition to finishing up Brian's latest New York adventure.
And I'll probably be I'm going back in April, so I'll probably have more for you.
By the time we get to the episode. So we just haven't decided if we're doing that in March or if we're doing that for episode 100 or something like that. So
I'm so glad we're not funding these trips.
Or are we?
I'm so
Yeah. If we are, I want to go one time.
If we can just figure out how to get people to say, we want to see groupies in New York City, send us money, and we take donations. Mm-hmm. Players would, the trick will be getting them out of our treasurer's hands. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, wow. He likes to pay rent and water and electricity.
Mm. Those things like that. Dang it.
But anyway, two episodes a month. Take a moment to subscribe, like. You can comment on Spotify. I don't know if you can comment on Apple Podcasts, but you can give us 5 stars. And I think I'll leave a quick review there. So we love that. Help us spread the word that we are here. The Art and Business of Community Theater is presented by the Monroe Community Players and recorded at Monroe County Library's Ellis Branch Podcast Studio, overlooking the historic River Raisin in Monroe, Michigan, and distributed with the assistance of MPACT, Monroe Public Access. For the love of theater, we are the groupies, and we will see you
in the green room.
Oh, Corey got to say it too. She did well.
That's why she waited.
Yeah. I have a degree in theater.
Well, goodbye. And don't think it hasn't been a little slice of